If you remember what we were discussing last time, so we had holomorphic and Simons theory on SLTC. The neighborhood of the boundary looks like has coordinates n, z, w, where w is on a CP1. N equals 0 is the boundary. And there was a Beltrami differential, which changes what functions are holomorphic. Which looks like n squared dw bar lz. And also n transforms as like dw to the half. So what we wanted to do was study fields of holomorphic Chern Simons theory which satisfy the equations of motion and violate the boundary condition at a point. At a point in the z-plane. So the boundary condition we asked that our gauge field is divisible by n. So that on the boundary, it vanishes. In algebraic geometry terms, it's a section of the line bundle O minus D, where D is the boundary. Okay? So a solution to the equations of motion, which violates the boundary condition, is given by A, which looks like a delta function at z equals 0 times some Lie algebra element plus. There's a correction term, n squared times n, factor of n, 1 plus v squared squared, dw bar times 1 over z squared. So in last time we saw, like, you can introduce higher order poles in n here, and that forces you to have more and more terms, but there was, like, completely explicit solutions. The equations of motion, the linearized equations of motion, which just violate the boundary condition along z equals 0. So if I take a z0, a, and a z1, a1, I can take three such guys, which violate the boundary condition at these points, and then we can try to define the holographic 2- and 3-point functions according to Witten's prescription . This is going to be the integral over the full six-dimensional geometry of 0, a, 0, b bar, a, z1, a1, times the holomorphic volume form. Similarly, the three-point function is the integral az1, az2, a2, times the holomorphic volume form, but of course I forgot to put here, I take, we put the killing with the invariant pairing of the Lie algebra, and here we put the trace of the product of the Lie algebra elements. Okay. So any questions about how setup works? Like what we're trying to do? Right, and so this, yeah?
Is it the tree level?
Yes, yeah. And so it's the tree level from the point of view of this, of the holographic dual setting, but from the point of view of the chiral algebra, this will compute the planar 2- and 3-point functions. And the way, I mean, well, what, if you read Witten's paper, you would draw something like this. Here's ADS3. I have 3 points in the boundary, which are these Zs. I modify the boundary condition, that sources some field. And I plug those three fields into the cubic term of the action, and I integrate it. And similarly here. So for the two-point function, I think what Witten would say would be you look at the field source by 1 point and how the subleading terms behave at the other point. But if you think about, it's a bit off topic, but if you think about the equation satisfied by the bulk to boundary propagator, this is the same as plugging in the kinetic term of the action. So let's first compute the two-point function. And there's going to be a slight subtlety. So we want to view A as a section of a non-trivial line bundle, the line bundle of things which vanish on the boundary. So A is really a section in omega 0, 1. Of the compactified SL2C with coefficients in O minus D, where D is the boundary divisor, now, of course, away from the boundary, this line bundle is trivial, but and we can view a section of O minus D as a section of O with a zero. Or a section of O minus D with a pole is just a regular section of O. However, the D bar operator in O minus T is not the same as the D bar operator in O. So if near the boundary, we write A as a function, a section of O, then like the D bar operator on O minus D looks like D bar is the usual D bar operator conjugated by N. So the reason is, as the function 1 viewed as a section of O minus D has a first order pole. So if I take D bar of it, viewed as a section over here, I must pick up a delta function. And that is achieved by this conjugation. Okay. So let's... So I hope you can believe that, and now we can compute the two-point function. So the integral of a z zero So we have this formula. So if this was a z0 here, then in the first term, I'd have delta function z equals z0. So this will give me something like the integral of, well, it turns out that this first term is not really going to matter the way we presented it, because d bar of this is 0 except at z1. So hitting d bar of this with the delta function at z0 is going to vanish. So only the second term in there can contribute. So this will be n squared dw bar over 1 plus w bar squared, then 1 over z minus z0 squared, and then d bar of this I think that's right. Yeah. So. Then times the volume form, which looks like dn, dz, dw over n cubed. And this term is crucial. The fact that I have to change the meaning of d bar, like the fact that this guy violates the boundary condition, I mean, it means that d bar of it acquires a pole. Because viewed as a section of O minus D, it has a pole. So here I pick up integral n dw dw bar over 1 plus u squared 1 over, this is e1 minus e naught squared, and then dn dz. Get rid of the dz, because I've done a delta function. And let's calculate the powers of n. What am I saying? No. I've got rid of the dn too because of the delta function. Sorry, the equation I'm using is d bar of n minus 1 dn is a delta function. So this dn has been used up. So now because I have the delta function in the n direction, I don't integrate over n, I don't integrate over z, I only integrate over w, as in this is proportional to 1 minus z0 squared. This calculation make sense to you guys? Okay, so this is good because this boundary state corresponds holographically
to the current for a GLK slash K action. So in the chiral algebra, so if I have these fields I, and J, and Hom, Cn, Ck slash K, the OPE of I and J includes 1 over Z squared times N.
Why do we need to work in a square root, not with a GLK?
Because of the, there's an anomaly to defining the BRST reduction. So if I just said CK, that anomaly would appear, but it cancels in the sigma case. There are variants of this story where in the bulk you could use SO, but you can't use GLK. So the two-point function of this guy is like N for Z squared. Okay, it's correct. Okay, so let's quickly do the three-point function. Is there any other questions? Any other questions? So it's actually, to actually compute this three-point function, one has to perform an integral over all of SL2C of some explicit quantity. And being rather lazy, I don't want to do that. So what I'm going to do instead is write the three-point function in terms of the OPE, the two-point functions. So better. Want an OPE. So given three fields, say two fields, AZ 0, AZ 1, which violate the boundary condition at Z equals ZI. So we want an OPE AZ 0 times a z1 you want to do an expansion just like in a vertex algebra. You want to expand it as a sum which is singular powers of the difference between the two of them times some other quantities for a tilde I z0 are some fields which violate the boundary condition at z0. So how do we, of course the OPE constraints are going to be contain the same data as the three-point function. So given these fields of the holographic dual theory, it must be the case that if I stick the right-hand side into the two-point function, that's going to be the same as sticking the left-hand side into the three-point function. So we must have, so if A
tilde tilde, say Z2, is another field. We must have the integral of AZ0 wedge AZ1 wedge AZ2 tilde tilde is equal to the sum I greater than 0, 1 over Z0 C1 I. The integral
so if I take these guys and I evaluate their two-point function with respect to some test field, that must be the same as taking the three-point function over here. So that's the definition of the OPE. And plus regular terms in Z0 minus C1. So actually, it's going to be convenient to put this on the other this E bar over there. So clearly, the solution to this. A solution to this can be obtained if this quantity is d bar inverse of this guy. So it's equal to plus regular terms. So what we need to do is take the wedge of these guys, apply d bar inverse, and then just take the expansion in terms of z0 and z1. So fortunately, we can do this. We can do this completely explicitly and calculate the OPE. So we'll like AZ0 as before. I'm going to drop the Lie algebra indices. Yes. N squared W bar squared LZ. Z squared. And we take AZ1 to be the same kind of thing, except at Z1. Well, you notice that AZ0 is nothing but the bar of 1 over Z minus C0. So I can remove this field by a gate transformation, which sends it off to infinity. So the reason it looks like this is that, if you recall, the d bar operator was not the naive one. It had an extra term involving this expression times d by dz. So therefore, one over z minus c0 az1 is e bar inverse And if you look at this,
This is 1 over c1 minus c0 times the delta function, z equals z1. So this is like very much the kind of OBE thing. And there's going to be some other term, but you can fiddle around with it, with the other term. And you realize that the other term looks like that. So if I look, if I wedge them together and apply D-bar inverse, then plus regular terms. You can expand it in powers of z1 minus z0, and the only term you find is 1 over z1 minus z0 times the same expression. Okay, is this making sense? So the answer is the holographic OPE as 1 over z1 minus z0 times the same kind of thing. So if I take a z0, reintroducing the algebra indices, this az1, a1 looks like f a0, a1, a2, 1 over z0 minus z1, az0, so we've already computed the other term, the two-point function term. So I hope this expression is familiar to everybody. This is an expression for the Kass-Moody algebra. So these calculations show that like the very first operators we see satisfy the OPEs of the Kass-Moody algebra at level n. So this is level n Kass-Moody for dl a slash k. And of course, this also appears in the large n chiral algebra just because we have something with the GLK slash K symmetry, so there are currents for that. And they have the same level. Yeah. Any questions? So you guys all think you can compute holographic OPEs? And okay, so what do you think I should do? I mean, let's see. So we have some feeling for the large n chiral algebra. We've written down some operators in it. We've done some holographic computations, and they match. And you can go further and show that everything matches with a lot of work. That would be useful for you guys. I mean, I could, like, there are two directions I could go on to, like, say why they match and talk about the global symmetry algebra, which is some kind of trick for comparing things, or, like, look at other examples.
Is it hard to compute the trace C?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, like, the Kadire-Spencer propagator is really nasty. So you can do it, but I'm not going to be able to remember at the board how to do it for that piece of the closed string subject. But for meiotic closed string fields, you can do it. And it's, let me say, And it's actually just the same. So let me briefly explain that. So here in the chiral algebra, you have things like trace of B times C I 1 C I K and trace of del C times Z 1 Z I K. These the usual BC ghosts implementing the BRST reduction. And these are fermionic. And they're in the spin k over 2 rep of SE2 4, and our dimension k over 2 plus 1.
So on the holographic,
so Kadira-Spencer theory includes something you might call holomorphic Shin-Simons. For the abelian Lie algebra, which is an odd copy of C2.
So because it's holomorphic Shin-Simons, you can do like the same thing we just did. So this involves a slightly funny way of rewriting Kadira-Spencer theory. So these come from PV0 star and PV2 star, the kernel of del inside there. But actually, the trick is to replace this by the image of del. And then you get two fields, both of which live in the double complex. Yeah, so for these fields, like the calculation is just the same.
Is there any non-trivial use?
Yeah. How does it work? Goes both ways, actually. There's no, actually, the one from open to open to close, taking open to closed, is that subleading order in the Warner-Ryan expansion. But there's a closed times open to open OPE, which takes, for example, like trace of Z1 and trace of I Z2J. These have an OPE, or I can track the things in the middle, 1 over Z twice. So there are things like that. And again, like in principle, you could be able to compute those holographically. I think we have more detail on this point on our paper, but at the blackboard, I'm not going to be able to write down the explicit formula that we did for the Shin-Simons case. Okay, so should I
continue trying to explain why this is true or move on to other examples. Any thoughts?
But at this point, okay, this is actually a very good thing to know. So I think, this is final, so I'll say a little bit about this. So the way Kadare-Spencer theory was originally set up, you have some Beltrami differential, x is a Clavier threefold. You have some Poisson tensor. And you have some scalar, I'll call gamma. It's called Zot, sorry. And the action looks like, just writing in the kinetic terms, e bar alpha del inverse alpha plus integral gamma, e bar gamma del inverse pi plus interacting terms. Now, and this, obviously this only makes sense if pi and alpha must both be in the kernel of del. Like if you write things in terms in the Durham complex, this must be a one star form in the kernel of del, and this is a two star form in the kernel of del. Now, clearly there's something a little silly going on. Okay, I mean, it's kind of hard to get rid of this del inverse, but this del inverse is unpleasant and easy to get rid of. So it seems silly to include it. So you simply write pi as del beta, but beta is in PV 3 star, which is equal to omega 0 star. And that's it. And then we have, and the kinetic term looks like and you can write the remaining terms too. So what we see is the piece with just the Beltrami differential coupled to a beta gamma system in the most natural way, minimally coupled. So this is actually a much better way of writing Kadare-Spencer theory. Because one reason is it exhibits a symmetry that you had not seen before. This guy has an SL2 C action, which rotates beta and gamma. Looking at that, you might think it might have something to do with S duality. If you think a little more about it, you'll realize that this guy here, which is really like a function, well, in the original paper of Vafa and collaborators, the ghost number zero field here was a 0-2 form, which they thought of as a gerb. But really, gerbs are not 0-2 forms. They're 0-2 forms up to integral stuff. So this guy should really be a function up to integral stuff. So really,
gamma should be valued in C star. And you can also guess that beta is valued in C star. Better. Beta and gamma define a map from X to C star squared. And we have, we're coupling alpha to holomorphic Bosansky-Witten theory. On C star times C star. Now, because this is a two torus, SL2C group has been broken to SL2Z. Which is natural to conjecture. Is given by S2-ality. Now, in the chiral algebra, you expect it's associated to n equals 4 Young-Mills, which should have S2-ality symmetry. And you can, by this, you can really see S2-ality explicitly at infinite n, or even at finite n, it's extremely subtle. Oh, that's a great question. That's a subtle issue in all string theories, right? Because to see SO versus SP, you need to use orientifold planes. I mean, I don't really know how to use orientifold planes in the topological string, but that would be great, but I don't know how to do that. I can't even really see the difference between SL and PSL. Any other questions?
Yeah.
So maybe I'm just not a bit unsure what exactly this course is going to be about, but maybe next week should we move to different examples, holography. We could talk a little bit about causal duality as well. Yeah.